Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at four passages this morning. And if you want to know what the main point is, we're going to be talking about the Reformation, but the main point is that only Jesus saves. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen. Now in Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Let's look at it together. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone." In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." In 1 Timothy 2:5, Paul reminds us, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to believe the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. please visit PastorWood.org today. That's PastorWood.org. We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at PastorWood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at PastorWood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at PastorWood.org and take our survey today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
This time of year, we celebrate something that not everybody celebrates. October 31st is a very special day around here because October 31st is I heard a mixture of voices. I heard a mixture of answers. Let me give you the answer for those of you who are unsure or new to the scene, and then you can say it with me in unison. Reformation Day. That's what October 31st is. So let's say that together. October 31st is Reformation Day. Wonderful. I'm so glad you know that. Now why? Why would we celebrate Reformation Day when so many other people are celebrating something completely different? They're celebrating Halloween. Well, we're going to talk about that. First of all, where does the term Halloween come from? It means hallowed evening. The een is evening, and hallowed means special, set apart, holy, holy. That's what everybody's out doing is trying to be holy on October 31st, right? No, not exactly. Let's just say it's degenerated. Well, why is it a hallowed evening in the tradition of some folks? Well, because it is the evening before what they call All Saints Day. Well, what is All Saints Day? Well, that is a time when we remember those who were of the faith who have died. They're no longer living among us. They've died, and we want to remember their good example. Okay, well, who are the saints who have died? Well, speaking in terms of church history, many people use that term to apply to certain individuals who had lived exceptionally good lives. Speaking biblically, all Christians are saints. In the Bible, those who are born again, which is absolutely essential, read what Jesus said in John chapter 3. That's not a Baptist term, it's a biblical term. Those who are born again have new life. God is now living inside of them, and they are saints. They are set apart as holy to the Lord, and that's all of us if we're really saved. Now, the term All Saints Day was already showing a little bit of confusion. It was originally at another time of year, but it got moved to the 1st of November in order to coincide with some pagan holidays in the British Isles that had to do with worshiping a demonic being called Samhain, Lord of the Dead. They would, at the time of year when the days were getting shorter in the midst of autumn, they would celebrate their pagan rituals right at the end of October. And the church didn't want to take that away from them because they might be disappointed and not go along with the church. So the church decided, let's move our celebration of All Saints Day to November 1st. They can have a party the night before. We'll tie the two together. Whereas they've been talking about the spirits of the dead coming up out of the ground, and the poor people have dressed up like dead people and gone around to the homes of the wealthy demanding that they give them something to eat or else they're going to do something bad to them. It's called extortion. But you know, this is what we will do. It was just a tradition. I mean, everybody knew it was fake. We don't really think those are the ghosts of dead people. We just, these people are dressed like ghosts of dead people, and we're going to give them some muffins that we made and some apples and other things and wish them well, and it's only once a year, so who cares? But they would give these alms to the poor who came begging dressed as dead people. And the church said, you know, we can still go with that. That's not a problem. But now we're going to tie it in with the veneration of the saints. And the next day, everybody needs to come to church. Okay? You've been out and been bad and danced naked around a fire or whatever on October 31st. November 1st, come to church, give us some money, say a few prayers, and everything will be good. Okay? There you go. Now, this was fitting with a mindset that had developed in the Western church where the church was big business. I mean, it was really big business. They made kings. They were tied in with the government, and the relationship between the government and the church was sometimes difficult because some emperors didn't like having to be under the thumb of Rome, and sometimes they were and sometimes they weren't. But I mean, the Roman church was huge. The gospel had gotten lost along the way. The gospel was not being clearly proclaimed. And for centuries, a period called the Dark Ages, and even going back leading into the Dark Ages, there was a vast area where people considered themselves Christians, but they had no access to Bibles. And when they went to worship God, it was in a language that many of them, if not most of them, didn't understand. And what they were taught, including the clergy, what the clergy was taught, was that salvation was something you get from the church by doing certain things, sometimes involving money, sometimes involving other things. The church had become a place where people thought, I've got to go to that man, I've got to find out, because that's the connection with God. I want to remind you of what we quoted a few moments ago from Paul's letter to Timothy. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. And that is the man Christ Jesus. And I want to remind you of why that's true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, the church's job was to point people to Jesus. And when the church starts acting as if we're the way, so that we block people's view of Jesus, and they feel as if they can't even get to Jesus, they can just maybe come to us. We are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. There is only one God, and there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He gave himself as a ransom. He died in our place. Now, that truth, the things we've been talking about in terms of the truth of the gospel, had been suppressed, lost from view for generations, for centuries. And when God would raise up various people to say, hey, I got to read a Bible, and it says salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, those of us who believe are supposed to do good works. We will, because that's what God has prepared ahead of time for us, and he's prepared us for those works. But we're not saved by the works. We're saved by God's grace. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what he has done. Well, the people who would come across the scriptures, be regenerated by God's Spirit, and begin to proclaim the truth, ended up being martyred. They were killed by the church, because it was bad for business. I mean, it is. It's bad for business. If you've got a deal where everybody has to come to you and pay, to get fed? And all of a sudden, somebody over here is saying, hey, there's a storehouse filled with food, and the door is wide open. And the sign over the door says, come. If you're hungry, receive. It's free. It's all been paid for. It's for you. If somebody's over there doing that and you're standing there in line with a funny cap on, going, pay up and you can have some, you're not going to like that guy. So you're going to brand him a heretic and you're going to kill him, which is what they did for centuries to some of the most wonderful, godly people that we're looking forward to seeing in heaven. But I want you to understand this. God never changed his mind. When the church was not proclaiming the truth, God was still the same. The gospel was unchanged. And God had, from generation to generation, in the midst of the darkness, people who were faithful to the truth. Because God is the one who saves. And in the 1500s, there was a German priest by the name of Martin Luther. And his particular genius for combining the truth of the gospel with some appeals to German nationalism worked out really well for the spread of the truth. As did an invention of a mechanical device which made it possible to print books. The printing press in Gutenberg absolutely revolutionized the printing industry. We won't have time to go into all that this morning, but suffice it to say, here was a technological development, an invention of man, used to propagate the good news of God's Word. And so people could now have Bibles much more easily printed instead of everything having to be copied by hand or printed very slowly. Now they could make copy after copy after copy after copy. And Luther's messages and Luther's translation of the Bible spread all over Europe. And other people began to read and say, wow, this is true. Jesus is the way. I don't have to go pay those folks. I just need to come to Jesus in repentant faith. If I trust in him, he'll save me. Suddenly, the Roman church was not the only church in town. Now, they didn't go along with it easily. There was enormous opposition. There was tremendous bloodshed. And I am not defending everything that was done by either side. What I am telling you is this. God brought about a revolution that we call the Reformation. And it hinged historically on something that happened on October 31st, because the Roman church was building a huge building in Rome called St. Peter's Basilica. And in order to build that magnificent structure, they needed a lot of money. And they came up with a way of raising money that was ethically dubious at best. They sold what they called indulgences, which was basically a promise that you would either get out of or shorten your time in purgatory. They could sell you an indulgence to get you out of purgatory. They could also, I mean, not that you were there yet, but in other words, I'm not necessarily living exactly the way I should live, but I do have a lot of money. And I don't really want to spend time in purgatory. I am a devout believer, and I'd like to go directly to heaven. How much money will it cost me to bypass purgatory? Well, we can do that for this much, says the priest. Okay, here's the money. And they say, okay, here's the indulgence. Now, we've got your money. You've got our indulgence. Fair is fair. Behave yourself, right? And the money goes to Rome, and they can build that beautiful facility. But the more typical appeal was that you were going to pay to get somebody else out of purgatory. It is so convenient to have this intermediate place. Because we got a bunch of people who nobody's dumb enough to believe went to heaven. But we are dumb enough to hope they didn't go to hell. So if we've got this intermediate place called purgatory, we can imagine and pretend, even though it's not biblical, that the person who has died has gone there and they're kind of getting purged, hence the name purgatory. They're getting purged of the stuff that isn't good so that then after they've suffered enough to clean up their act, they can go on to heaven. Okay? Here's the deal. If you really love your mother, you wouldn't want her to have to spend all that time in purgatory. For just $10,000, I can give you an indulgence that will get her directly out of purgatory into heaven. I haven't got $10,000. How much you got? I could come up with $1,500. Well, that'll shorten her time in purgatory by 100 years. Do you love your mom enough to give up your money to save her 100 years in purgatory? Think of all she did for you. Giving birth, for example. Okay? I mean, I think we ought to get her out of there. If you're a good daughter, I think we ought to get her out of there. $1,500. I tell you what. Today only. Well, $1,500 will buy you 150 years off her sentence. How's that? Oh, well, now you got a deal. Here you go. There's $1,500, and I'm writing you a thing guaranteeing 150 years off of her time in purgatory. Now, based on what the Bible says, that was giant fraud. They were selling pieces of paper that had no biblical authority in order to get people who were dead, mostly, out of a place that doesn't exist. That's fraud. But my goodness, what a beautiful building we got out of it. Okay? Now, Martin Luther was a German priest who saw through that and recognized that is contrary to the scripture. If the priest had the authority to get people out, they ought to get them out. Don't collect money to get them out. Surely the Pope didn't authorize this. That's what Luther said. He said, I can't believe, you're not going to convince me that the Pope, the head of the Roman Church, really authorized this. I think these guys are just a bunch of charlatans going out. They may be priests, but they're total liars and con men, and it's wrong what they're doing. And he made a list of 95 points concerning what is true and what is false and what's going on, the corruption in the church. And he said, I will debate anybody who wants to debate me on any of these 95 points or all of them. And he posted that on the town bulletin board, which was the door of the church. Now, it was not vandalism. That was where notices were posted. But he posted that sign there on the door challenging all comers to debate him. And he wrote it in German so the people who could read it. And those who couldn't read could have it read to them. And so people are reading what Luther said. And they're like, wow, that makes sense. If the church can get us out of purgatory, why don't they just do it? Why do we have to pay to get out of purgatory? Yeah. He appealed to the popular culture, and the people loved him for it. Now, Luther was a flawed man, but I am not here this morning to tell you about how wonderful Luther was. I am here to remind you of what we are celebrating on October 31st, which is that Jesus came to save sinners, including Luther. Including me, and including you if you are trusting in him. That's what we celebrate. We would not have Bibles in our own language if it weren't for the fact that people like Luther were willing to risk their lives in order to get the Bible translated and printed and distributed in the languages of the people. If you're, well, what translation do I need? An English one if you speak English. Spanish one if you speak Spanish. German one if you speak German. A French one if you speak French. Just read the Bible and ask God to show you, and he will. Because it's not all that complicated. It's magnificent and it's true. And you know what? We have something to celebrate. On October 31st, we're planning on having a party because it's Reformation Day.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.